Numbers chapter 28 and 29. As you turn there, I remind you that we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. It is inerrant and infallible. It is our only rule of faith and practice. And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the Word of our God will stand forever. Numbers chapter 28 and 29, we'll read both chapters in their entirety. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the people of Israel and say to them, 'My offering, my food for my food offerings, my pleasing aroma, you shall be careful to offer to me at its appointed time.' And you shall say to them, 'This is the food offering that you shall offer to the Lord, two male lambs a year old without blemish, day by day, as a regular offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Also a tenth of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering, mixed with a quarter of a hin of beaten oil. It is a regular burnt offering, which was ordained at Mount Sinai for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. Its drink offering shall be a quarter of a hin for each lamb. In the holy place you shall pour out a drink offering of strong drink to the Lord. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight. Like the grain offering of the morning and like its drink offering, you shall offer it as a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. On the Sabbath day, two male lambs, a year old without blemish, and two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering mixed with oil and its drink offering. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. At the beginnings of your months, you shall offer a burnt offering to the Lord, two bulls from the herd, one ram, seven male lambs a year old without blemish, also three-tenths of an ephah of fine flour for a grain offering mixed with oil for each bull, and two-tenths of fine flour for a grain offering mixed with oil for the one ram. And a tenth of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering for every lamb, for a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. Their drink offering shall be half a hin of wine for a bull, a third of a hin for a ram, and a quarter of a hin for a lamb. This is the burnt offering of each month throughout the months of the year. Also one male goat for a sin offering to the Lord. It shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. On the 14th day of the first month is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of this month is a feast. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, but offer a food offering, a burnt offering to the Lord. Two bulls from the herd, one ram, and seven male lambs a year old. See that they are without blemish. Also their grain offering, a fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah shall you offer for a bull, and 2/10 for a ram. A tenth you shall offer for each of the seven lambs. Also one male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. You shall offer these besides the burnt offering of the morning, which is for a regular burnt offering. In the same way, you shall offer daily, for 7 days, the food of a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. It shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. And on the 7th day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. On the day of the first fruits, when you offer a grain offering of new grain to the Lord, at your feast of weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, but offer a burnt offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Two bulls from the herd, one ram, seven male lambs a year old. Also their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for one ram. A tenth for each of the seven lambs. With one male goat to make atonement for you. Besides the regular burnt offering and its grain offering, you shall offer them and their drink offering. See that they are without blemish. On the first day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets, and you shall offer a burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. One bull from the herd, one ram, seven male lambs, a year old without blemish, Also their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs, with 1 male goat for a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering of the new moon and its grain offering and the regular burnt offering and its grain offering and their drink offering according to the rule for them for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. On the 10th day of this 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation and afflict yourselves. You shall not do work, but you shall offer a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma. 1 bull from the herd, 1 ram, 7 male lambs, a year old. See that they are without blemish. And their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the 1 ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Also 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the sin offering of atonement, and the regular burnt offering and its grain offering, and their drink offerings. On the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. And you shall offer a burnt offering, a food offering, with a pleasing aroma to the Lord, 13 bulls from the herd, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old, and they shall be without blemish, and their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 for each of the 2 rams, and 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs. Also 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the 2nd day, 12 bulls from the herd, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old without blemish, with the grain offering and the drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs in the prescribed quantities. Also 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering and its grain offering and their drink offerings. On the 3rd day, 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 male lambs, a year old without blemish, with the grain offering and the drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs in the prescribed quantities. Also 1 male goat for a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering and its grain offering and its drink offering. The 4th day, verse 23, the 5th day, verse 26, the 6th day, verse 29, the 7th day, verse 32, the 8th day, verse 35. Then in verse 39 of chapter 29, these you shall offer to the Lord at your appointed feasts, in addition to your vow offerings and your free will offerings, for your burnt offerings and for grain offerings, and for your drink offerings, and for your peace offerings. So Moses told the people of Israel everything, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word, for every jot and tittle. It's all profitable to us as your people. And Lord, we ask you that you would give us wisdom, understanding, that we may apply your word, that we may grow in Christ, that you would use these moments for our sanctification and for your glory. And we ask this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Working our way through the book of Numbers, and we have seen in Numbers this theme that is really the theme of all of Scripture, and that is communion and fellowship and worship of God is at the heart of the Christian religion. In fact, you could sum up the whole Bible in a very simple plot line. The Bible explains how it is that we were created for communion with God, how it is that we lost that communion through the fall. And then the rest of the book is the long saga working out and explaining how it is that God makes provision to restore that communion and that fellowship between himself and his people. That's the theme of Scripture, and that's the theme of the book of Numbers. As we have seen in the book of Numbers, God gives many, sometimes seemingly to us, tedious instructions about the why and the how and the when and the where his people are to worship and fellowship and commune with him. And that's certainly the case in these chapters before us this morning. These may seem very remote to us. These may seem very removed and obscure from our experience today. And the tendency may be to just gloss these things over and pass them up as pointless, meaningless regulations of a bygone era. But I want to tell you this morning that is not the case. This is God's Word, and we do find here some very profound insights, some timeless principles that apply to us today as those who are in Jesus Christ. One of the first things we see in chapter 28 in the opening verses here is that worship is God-centered. Worship is God-centered. God is the originator of true worship and fellowship and communion. God is the initiator of true worship and fellowship and communion with Him. And you see this repeatedly in these opening verses. My food, my offering, my food offerings, my pleasing aroma, you shall be careful to offer to me. To me. Not to whomever you may view as your own personal God, but worship is always to be to the God of Scripture. And it's to be given exclusively to Him. And we see this repeatedly in this passage and in the commandments that we are called to worship the true God as revealed in Scripture with the utmost sincerity, with pure devotion, as He is revealed to us in Scripture. Another thing we see here very quickly in these opening verses is that God prescribes how He is to be worshipped. Notice the emphasis on my offerings, my food offerings, my pleasing aroma, you shall be careful to offer to me at its appointed time. And He makes it very clear, verse after verse after verse after verse. This is what I require. This is to whom you shall give it. This is how you shall give it. This is when you shall give it. And this is where you shall give it. There's not the slightest hint in Scripture anywhere, Old Testament, New Testament, that we may worship as we please or may worship whom we please. But we are God's creatures. We are called by Him to worship Him in the way that He prescribes how He is to be worshipped. You see those principles right off the bat, but then as you get into these chapters, what you really begin to see throughout chapter 28 and throughout chapter 29 is that worship is to encompass our whole life. Fellowship with God is to encompass our whole life. That's really the point here. You know, nothing in the Bible surely is more confusing to modern Christians than all of the rules and regulations regarding the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Admittedly so. But if you begin to look at these things in the light of Jesus Christ, to whom they all point, to whom they all foreshadow, to whom they all picture, they actually begin to make sense. And very simply, the fundamental point of all of these offerings, of all of these feasts, is that Israel's life was to be built around worship and fellowship with God. That's the bottom line here. Every day, every week, every month, every season of the year was to be spent in communion and worship with God. That's a timeless principle for God's people. Sacrifices have passed away, the feasts have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and yet the principle remains that those who belong to God, that those who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, we are to order every day, every week, every month, every year, around communion and fellowship and the worship of God our Creator. That's the fundamental point here, and you see this pattern developing as we go through these two chapters. As we read through these two chapters, what we saw, what you'll notice, is increasing periods of time, increasing levels of commitment. It begins with daily commitment. Time spent with the Lord every day. All of this designed to remind the Israelites to view their time, to order their lives around the themes of God's redemption and salvation and provision with hearts of thanksgiving. That's what characterizes and draws a common theme through all of these feasts and festivals and sacrifices together. And so they begin with daily worship. And daily worship is broken down into morning and evening sacrifices. You come in the morning and you come at twilight. That's a wonderful pattern that's seen through all of Scripture. We could go through the Psalms and see this pattern given to us over and over again. And in the New Testament as well. And we pattern that daily worship in our own lives and in the life of the church. Morning and evening worship. Again, the timeless principle here, the timeless point, is that every day for the Christian is a day to be spent in fellowship with God, whether it's as families, as individuals, in our prayers, singing praises to Him, spending time in His Word, doing this in the morning, doing this in the evening, doing this when I wake up, doing this when I go to bed. That's a wonderful daily pattern, a wonderful daily discipline for every Christian to embrace. Waking up, dedicating the day to come to the Lord in prayer. Praying for His blessings. Praying that He would use this day to work in me holiness. And then lying my head on the pillow at night with a heart of thanksgiving. Closing the day in prayer. And all the time in between spent in fellowship with Him as well. It's not just for the Lord's Day. It's not just for church. But every day. Daily fellowship with God is foundational. It's easy to forget. It's easy to become busy. It's easy to become distracted and fail to do these things. But the Lord calls us to this discipline. The next level of ordered time here that he mentions beginning in verse 9 is the weekly celebration. The Sabbath. Not just a daily worship and communion and fellowship with God, but then a special day each week set aside for double portions. You'll notice here the sacrifice on the Sabbath was to be double that which was required the other days. The Old Testament Sabbath was our Saturday. Today, the New Testament's holy day is Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, the day of resurrection. And we come to the New Testament and we see this same pattern of a weekly day set aside for the public worship of God. We're worshiping Him privately. We're worshiping Him as families, day by day by day, morning and evening, all culminating on the Lord's Day when we come together as God's people. And we worship Him as His corporate body. It carries over in principle in the New Testament. In fact, in Hebrews 10:25, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, commands us not to forsake the assembly, as some are in the habit of doing, but come together and encourage each other all the more as we see that day approaching. So God's people order their time around Him on a daily basis in a disciplined way. And God's people order their time around Him on a weekly basis. And then we see the next level of commitment here, monthly, verses 11 through 15. Each new moon was an occasion for Israel to get together and to celebrate and to recognize God's providence and His provision and His goodness with hearts of thanksgiving and feasting and celebrating and sacrificing. And then the next level, beginning in verse 16, the great festivals of the year, the five great festivals, the five great seasons, the annual celebrations of God's people. And you'll notice, if you spend time studying these seasons, and there's a helpful insert in your bulletin, these great festivals echo the rhythm of the agricultural year of the Hebrews. Their life depended upon the harvest, plowing, sowing, growing, reaping, year after year after year, that annual pattern. And yet all of that the Lord uses to order around His providence, His provision. The great themes of redemption and salvation through all of these seasons, all pointing to God, all pointing to His work. Now, these things are no longer binding for us as Christians. We recognize and have the privilege of looking back at these things and seeing that now we have the fulfillment of which all of these things pointed to. All of the festivals, all of the sacrifices, the feasts, the new moon festivals, the five great festivals of the Hebrew year. But then at the same time, there is a principle. And you see, immediately after the coming of Christ, the church continues this pattern of a calendar revolving around the work of God in Jesus Christ. And so many in the Christian tradition today still follow a similar pattern. Advent, Easter, the seasons of the year pointing to the work of Jesus Christ. And so what you have here is an ordering of time for the people of Christian faith. Ordering my days around Jesus Christ, ordering my weeks around Jesus Christ, ordering my months around Jesus Christ, ordering the seasons of the year around Jesus Christ. Everything pointing to Him. Everything a reminder of Him. Everything devoted to Him. Well, there's several symbolic functions that we could point to, and we have as we've worked through Numbers in regards to all of these sacrifices. But there are several elements here of these sacrifices in particular that point to fellowship between God and His people. What you notice in all of these sacrifices is an emphasis on communion. Communing with God, feasting with God. God feasting with His people. Think about these sacrifices. Each one includes a meat, a grain, and a drink. That's a symbolically balanced meal. And over again, the meat is cooked, and the aroma is pleasing to the Lord. See, the emphasis here is on fellowship, on worship, on communion, on God's people sitting down with their Father at the table that's prepared before them, and feasting with Him, and feasting with one another. It's done on a daily basis. It's done on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, and a yearly basis. Constant fellowship between God and His people, and between God's people coming together. That's the pattern. And that continues in the New Testament as well. Another thing you notice here is communion is not cheap. The fellowship is not cheap. The Lord makes great demands on his people in these chapters. In fact, if you go through and add up all of these offerings, and they are cumulative, so the weekly offerings are in addition to the daily offerings, and the monthly offerings are in addition to the weekly and the daily, and so forth. What you come up with is quite an obligation. On an annual basis, we count in these two chapters 1,093 lambs, 37 rams, 113 bulls, 30 goats annually. In addition to all the grain offerings and all the drink offerings, this is a costly commitment. And that, of course, is part of the point, that God requires our whole, everything we have, everything we are, everything we do, that we dedicate it to him. It belongs to him. This is really one of the great paradoxes, if you will, of the Christian faith. That communion and fellowship with God is a free gift. A free gift of his grace. And yet it costs us everything we have. Everything that we are, we give to him. And what you see in these sacrifices, daily, weekly, monthly, annually, is that it is God who provides salvation. It's an act of his free grace, of his sovereign work. It's an act of his love. Let me tell you, godly Old Testament true believers were under no illusion that they were to draw near to God by their own works or their own merit. Godly, true believing Old Testament Israelites every day saw in the sacrificial system, in the spilling of blood, the truth illustrated for them over and over and over again. Not by my works, not by my merit, only by the spilling of blood. A reminder, a constant sign pointing to the promised Savior to come. They knew the blood of goats and the blood of lambs could not atone for sin. The true believers did. It all pointed to the promised Messiah, who in the fullness of time would be provided by the Father and would provide the once and for all sacrifice that would atone for the sins of his people. That's what it's all pointing to. That's what it all culminates in. And every morning, every evening, every week, every month, every season, these Israelites would stand there and look at the shedding of this blood and think to themselves, "This should be me. This could be me if it were not for God's provision of a substitute." And so here we are, thousands of years later, we're looking back on this side of the cross, and how blessed and privileged we are to see all of this fulfilled. They were saved by faith in the promised one to come, and now we are saved by the faith and the promised one who has come, Jesus Christ, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. the sacrifice of the perfect Son of God as our substitute. And so we look to Him. We put our faith in Him. We put our trust in Him. We put our hope in Him alone. And He calls us to devote ourselves daily, weekly, monthly, seasonally, all the years of our life, all the seasons of our life, devoted to Jesus Christ, focused around Jesus Christ, giving thanks for the redemption found in Jesus Christ, and forevermore delighting in the communion that comes from knowing Him as our Savior and that comes from being known by Him as our Savior. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for Your holy word. And we pray that You would work in us hearts of consecration and devotion. Hearts that are sincerely and reverently devoted to You day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. All time, all attention, all focus, everything we are, everything we have, focusing on You. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.